her face going red. She wants to tell me, Susan knew. She's desperate too, but I've got to play it right so she can square it with herself. I'm not asking for names, Mrs. Ogg, because I expect you don't know them, she went on. That's true. But the child... Look, miss, I'm not supposed to tell a living soul about... If it helps. I'm not entirely certain that I am one, said Susan. She watched Mrs. Ogg for a while. But I understand. There have to be rules, don't there? Thank you for your time. Susan stood up and put the preserved day back on the mantelpiece. Then she walked out of the cottage, shutting the door behind her. Binky was waiting by the gate. She mounted up, and it wasn't until then that she heard the door open behind her. "That's what he said," said Mrs. Ogg, "when he gave me the egg timer. Thank you for your time, Mrs. Ogg," he said. "You'd better come back in, my girl." Tick. Death found Pestilence in a hospice in Klamedos. Pestilence liked hospitals. There was always something for him to do. Currently he was trying to remove the "Now wash your hands" sign over a cracked basin. He looked up.
"Oh, it's you," he said. "Soap? I'll give them soap."
"I sent out the call," said Death.
"Oh, yeah, right, yes," said Pestilence, clearly embarrassed.
"You've still got your horse?"
"Of course, but—"
"You had a fine horse."
"Look, Death, it's—look, it's not that I don't see your point, but, oh, excuse me."
Pestilence stepped aside as a white-robed nun, completely ignorant of the two horsemen, passed between them. But he took the opportunity to breathe in her face.
"Just a mild flu," he said, catching Death's expression.
"So we can count on you, can we?"
"To ride out?"
"Yes."
"For the big one?"
"It's expected of us."
"How many of the others have you got?"
"You are the first."
Death sighed. Of course, there had been plenty of diseases long before humans had been around, but humans had definitely created pestilence. They had a genius for crowding together, for poking around in jungles, for sighting the midden so handily next to the well. Pestilence was, therefore, part human, with all that this entailed. He was frightened.
"I see," he said.
"The way you put it..."
"You are afraid?"
"I'll think about it."
"Yes, I am sure you will."
Tick. Quite a lot of brandy splashed into Mrs. Ogg's mug. She waved the bottle vaguely at Susan with an inquiring look. "No, thank you."
"Fair enough, fair enough."
Nanny Ogg put the bottle aside and took a draught of the brandy as though it were beer. "A man came knocking," she said. "Three times he came in my life. Last time was, oh, maybe 10 days ago. Same man every time. He wanted a midwife."
10 days ago," said Susan. "But the boy's at least six..."
She stopped.
"Ah, you've got it," said Mrs. Ogg. "I could see you was bright. Time didn't matter to him. He wanted the best midwife. And it was like he'd found out about me but got the date wrong. Just like you or me could knock on the wrong door. Can you understand what I mean?"
"More than you think," said Susan.
"The third time," another gulp at the brandy, "he was in a bit of a state," said Mrs. Ogg. "That's how I knew he was just a man, despite everything that happened after. It was because he was panicking, to tell you the truth. Pregnant fathers often panic. He was going on about me coming right away and how there was no time. He had all the time in the world, he just wasn't thinking properly. Because husbands never do when the time comes. They panic because it ain't their world anymore."
"And what happened next?" said Susan.
"He took me in his... well, it was like one of them old chariots. He took me to..."
Mrs. Ogg hesitated.
"I've seen a lot of strange things in my life, I'll have you know," she said, as if preparing the ground for a revelation.
"I can believe it."
"It was a castle made of glass."
Mrs. Ogg gave Susan a look, which dared her to disbelieve. Susan decided to hurry things up. "Mrs. Ogg, one of my earliest memories is of helping to feed the pale horse. You know, the one outside, the horse of death. His name is Binky, so please don't keep stopping. There is practically no limit to the things I find normal."
"There was a woman. Well, eventually there was a woman," said the witch. "Can you imagine someone exploding into a million pieces?"
"Yeah, I expect you can."
"Well, imagine it happening the other way. There is a mist and it's all flying together and then, whoosh, there is a woman. Then, whoosh, back into a mist again. And all the time this noise..."
Mrs. Ogg ran her finger round the edge of the brandy glass, making it hum.